Good evening. Yep. If you would please turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 1 through 17. If you do not have your Bible with you, there's one in the pew in front of you, or you can turn in your bulletin to page 7. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated. Set your mind on the thing seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things of earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these ways you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Imagine yourself working in a chemical plant called DuPont in the mid-1960s, and you and your teammates' objective is to create a stronger synthetic fiber. And as you're working along, you keep creating this cloudy chemical substance that looks really unpromising. But one of your teammates, a woman by the name of Stephanie Kwolek, decides to spin this cloudy substance just to see what will happen. When she's done spinning it, it comes out as a string that is flexible, lightweight, and 5 times stronger than steel. What Kwolek has discovered is Kevlar. Here, in the wake of the Vietnam War, soldiers and law enforcement officers alike are encouraged to take off their old, cumbersome, and clunky body armor and put on the lighter, stronger, and better Kevlar. Just as Kevlar helped police and warriors get rid of the old and put on the new, in Colossians 3, Paul encourages Christians to put off their old sinful lifestyles, put on the new protection from Christ, which leads to hope-filled thankfulness. First, Paul encourages Christians to put off their old lifestyles. However, to say Paul is encouraging is a bit of an understatement. In the letter here, Paul is using very strong language, like put to death. Paul is writing is essentially sending the Colossians a text message with all capital letters, and is telling them that they need to kill the old, ineffective lifestyle. Paul commands Christians to continuously slay their sins. Another way you could interpret verse 5 is to say, actively annihilate, therefore, what is earthly in your members: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. At the foundation of these verses, Paul is clearly telling believers of all ages to take off their old sinful garments they used to wear, because wearing anything else for Christians would be utterly ridiculous. Imagine a platoon of battle-ready soldiers. They're standing there in formation with their boots laced up perfectly. They've got their weapons cleaned and fully loaded, ready to spring like a well-oiled trap. But in the front line, in the exact middle, there's one kind of scrawny soldier standing there in his pajamas and holding a teddy bear. For Christians to continue living in their sin is to show up before God like the unprepared, ineffective, and unhelpful soldier. Hence, Paul is telling the elect how not to dress for war in the opening verses of Colossians 3 and orders them to take off their sinfulness. Now, in addition to Paul telling soldiers what not to put on, Christian soldiers what not to put on, Paul also teaches God's children what to put on. We must highlight verses 10 and 12, which clearly state that the only reason why we can put on the new self is because of Christ's work, not ours. In verse 10, the phrase, "in the image of its creator," points us to the God who creates new people. Ephesians 2:10 states, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Our God, as our commander and king, has both called us to serve him and has tasks for us to do. We did not enlist in the heavenly forces. We were drafted. Now, Colossians 3:12 emphatically reinforces the fact that God has selected us. The passage opens with, "Therefore, as God's chosen people." Now, why does Paul set up a contrast between the people we were with the people who we are in Christ? Well, Romans 3:10 through 11 teaches, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. Before the Father brought us into his ranks, we were wicked, seditious people who could not come to him. We may not have all been as bad as Adolf Hitler, but our hearts and minds were predisposed to oppose the Lord. We could not have entered God's army even if we had wanted to. The only place that we ever would have been deployed to is hell, because we were waging a war with our Maker we could not have won. God's draft is a mandate of grace, and one we do not deserve. Because of our Lord's loving draft, we see in verses 15 through 17 the culmination of the passage. Be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Again, in verse 15, we see a strong imperative to let Christ's peace govern our hearts. And the commandment is equally as strong when talking about thankfulness. In verse 16, Paul demonstrates the importance of understanding Jesus' words, i.e. Scripture. By knowing God's word, people are able to obey God, lead one another in life's journeys, and have joy. In fact, the connection between living the Christian life and the Bible is so strong, one commentator says, "How can you tell if a believer is filled with the Word of God? He or she is joyful, thankful, and submissive." Then in verse 17, Paul addresses all of life in the words, whatever you do, and in word or deed. Paul is teaching Christ's followers to make all of their life a pleasing sacrifice to their Savior, and to do it with thankfulness. For Paul, the standard issue of God's armor is branded with the insignia of thankfulness. Now, after seeing how Paul calls Christians to put off their old sinful ways and put on the new armored uniform of godliness, we see this uniform is covered with hope-filled thankfulness. And yet, there are days where we may not physically put on a uniform, but it sure feels like we're in a battle. Life is full of wars to fight. We are surrounded by struggles with the sins mentioned in verses 5, 9, and 10, and monsters in the heater. But we also live in an age where there has been a prolonged 16-year war, race riots, and more. In fact, for many of us, we're heading into a battle with the holiday season. While this time of year is supposed to be joyful, it's often a reminder of disappointment, divorce, and death. I know for my family in particular, the New Year's season is hard as we remember the loss of my grandfather, and I'm sure, Jimmy, you, this time of year is difficult for you too, remembering your mother's loss. With all of these real and present issues, can being thankful change anything? Does Paul even have a clue what he's saying? Paul lived thousands of years ago. How can he possibly understand our struggles? Well, if anyone had a reason to be unthankful, it would have been Paul. Colossians 4:18 says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. At this point in Paul's life, he has had many people try to kill him. He's been stoned almost to death, beaten in riots, shipwrecked, and now he's under arrest. He was a man who suffered with personal illness, seen churches he raised up falter, and now may only have a few days to live. What could Paul be holding on to? Did he just lose his sanity? If you have your Bibles open, please turn back to Colossians 2, verses 13 through 14. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Paul's hope is not circumstantial. Paul's joy and thankfulness are not wrapped up in a comfortable lifestyle. Paul is thankful because the sins he has committed are pegged to the cross, where they can never come off again because they are drenched in Jesus' blood. By Christ's blood alone can believers be saved. By Christ's blood alone can Christians rip off their old clothes and put on the armor that will protect them from Satan's flaming arrows. By Christ's blood alone do we have hope that springs out in thankfulness. You see, a bulletproof vest isn't a promise that you will never be shot. If you're given one, it usually means that you're heading into a dangerous situation. Because we as Christians have Christ's righteous robe, we are able to fight wars with sin, address racial tensions, help lands ravaged by war, lose loved ones, and even face holiday sadness. This does not mean that we are always happy-go-lucky people skipping along as we carry the caskets of our deceased loved ones. We are able to mourn. We do feel pain. But we do not suffer as people without hope. We will meet trying times, but our commander has already won the war, defeating death itself. We just have to take orders. But the good news does not stop there. When our Lord calls us home, either in death or at his coming, we will be able to relish in the joys of heaven. And one of my favorite poets and musicians, Andy Mineo, I think masterfully captures Christ's redemptive work in his song, Death Has Died. Now, in the song, Mineo is describing dealing with the loss of his grandmother, and while he's at the funeral, he has to stomach the false hopes being given by a priest who's there. And then as he's traveling, he sees a TV screen and learns about the Sandy Hook shooting and the multiple children who are massacred there. And the chorus of the song hauntingly repeats, breaking down, breaking down. Everything here is breaking down. But at the conclusion, Mineo states, words fall short trying to comfort the grieving, but you've got to know there's hope to believe in. One day my God's going to crack the sky. He's going to bottle every tear that we ever cried, the truth to every lie, justice for every crime. All our shame will be gone and we'll never have to hide. No more broken hearts, no more broken homes, no more locking doors, no more cops patrolling, no abusive words or abusive touches, no more cancerous cells that will take our loved ones, no more hungry kids, no more natural disasters, no child will ever have to ask where his dad is, no funerals where we wear all black, and death will be dead, and we'll lock the casket. Here we see yet another reason why we should be thankful to put on Christ.